Tech Tuesday. That's right, it's a Tech Tuesday.
Hi, everybody. It's Bill and a 20. This is the bonus hour. Welcome aboard. We're thrilled that you're listening. Why did you laugh at that? Aren't you thrilled that people are listening?
Oh, yeah. Welcome aboard. I hear Rose say
welcome
that.
Welcome aboard.
Starship Enterprise or whatever he says every day.
No, he pretends that the show is on an airplane. But it's not. It's here in the studio. But he gives the impression to the casual listener, they think, wow, those guys have their own jet. It's very cool.
He has a jet, doesn't he?
He's got a fleet of jets. That was part of his signing bonus at LS. He demanded a Cessna. All right, we'll give him a Cessna every year, a new Cessna. All right, on the regular version of the show, we started talking about how, and they do this, I think, every year, I think.
Yeah, they do.
Merriam-Webster.
I love her.
Oh, what a talent. What a wordsmith that Merriam-Webster is. And the mother of Emmanuel Lewis, TV's Webster.
I did not know that.
Every year they add words to their dictionary that you can use when playing Scrabble or similar word games. Now, when my wife and I play, like I said, we don't play Scrabble. Usually we play a game called Upwords.
When's the last time you played? I'm just curious.
Upwords or Scrabble?
Either.
Upwords a few times last week.
Really? You guys still play games?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
I have no one to play games with me.
No one in the family will play?
No, because Jim's doing something Star Wars related.
Yeah.
Michael's usually at work.
Play Star Wars Scrabble with him, where you can only use words that are used in Star Wars.
A, yeah, I would lose. Two, it would be boring.
That's true on all counts. Normally, when Terry and I take a vacation, we always bring Upwards with us.
Travel Scrabble?
Not Travel Scrabble. But Upwards, and then we play it on the beach or wherever we are, by the pool.
Is it a smaller Upwards?
Travels well. It's a board that is, I'm going to say, maybe 8 inches by 8 inches.
Bigger
roughly.
Than a bread box?
Yeah. We also bring a bread box, because she'll say to me, would you care for some bread? And I'll go, you didn't bring bread. Oh, wait a minute. And she pulls out the bread box. We enjoy some sourdough. Oh, is that good? And then I use the bread morsels to form my own tiles. And if I'm missing a letter, I go, oh, I could spell a word if I only had the letter R. Wait a minute. We substitute it.
If there are young children, if there are teenage people or early 20s listening and you have a band, please name it Bread Morsels.
Bread Morsels.
Because I enjoy that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Bread Morsels. The crowd goes wild.
You are a piece of work.
All right, so we'll bring those games, and she will, Terry, and I'm not saying she's cheating. She's not cheating. This is just her version of playing the game. She'll put down a word that I'll know is not a word. I go, there's no word called fnudna, because that's not a word. But she'll go, oh, there is. So our rule is we look it up in the Scrabble dictionary, and it not only has to be in there, but she has to know what it means. You can't just put the letters down at random and hope it's a word.
Yeah, but that's not fair because my vocabulary is not that good. And maybe I know a word from seeing it before or hearing someone say it.
If we didn't have that rule in place, our average game of Upwards would last 6 to 8 hours. Because she consistently puts down words that are not words in any language. You know, there's very few words that, you know, are spelled V-R-T-T-M-O-L. There's no word
that's
like that.
Vrtmol.
No, there's no word called Vrtmol. So if it is in the dictionary and she'll say, you know, it's an Arabian square of carpeting used in the front hall. And I'll go, okay, you get Vrtmol. Charlie Callis just sent me a check, by the way.
And Cardi B, who's been arrested for assault.
Cardi B was?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right, so these are all words.
That sounded like getting onto AOL.
That's the word. Scrabble is now accepting that word as your entryway to AOL. All right, so I don't know what some of these words mean.
All right, I should have definitions.
I know what some of them means. Like, this is the first word that when playing Scrabble, you could use the word bestie, and that obviously means...
Your best friend.
Your best friend. Grant Mulvey, my bestie, will be on the show on Thursday. Why did you grimaced?
Because I'm frowny.
That's one of the words. That's one of the words.
I know.
And it means you.
Showing a frown.
But couldn't you almost add the letter Y to any word and make that its own new word?
Yes. Frowny has recently enjoyed a triumphant return into the dictionary. The word had first been defined by us, Merriam-Webster, in the 1864 edition of our unabridged dictionary. Frowning means scowling, but was removed for the 1961 edition.
Yep.
It was removed because not enough people were using it. And dictionaries usually require that a word retain some currency in a language in order to keep the valuable real estate. So frowny right now has been put in there. You're very frowny.
Frowny to me sounds like a sad Girl Scout. Doesn't it? Like a sad brownie. Why is Megan so sad? Well, she's a frowny. Oh, does she get a badge for that?
Yes, with the little sad face.
Right. That would be the badge. Congratulations, Megan. You were sad every day this week, so you get a frowny badge.
Frowny reminds me of something like a little toddler who's just learning how to speak would say.
Yeah.
Daddy's all frowny.
Yeah. Can I tell you, about 2 or 3 years ago on this show, I thought I invented the word old-timey. Like I was describing something, and I go, you know, it had like those old-timey looks to it. And then since then, because I never heard it before, I've heard two different people say it, one on the news and one on a late-night talk show, old-timey. Now, I don't expect residual checks, but I think I was the first one to ever say old-timey.
It didn't stand out, so
no,
sorry. I'll give you credit. I'll write a letter.
Wendy, it was quite a day. Merriam-Webster.
All right.
Send her a note. What does this word mean? This is an acceptable word according to Scrabble starting now. If you were playing 3 weeks ago and you used this word, you get nothing, but today you get a lot of points for it. Bizjet. Can I guess what it means?
Yeah, because I don't know.
I'm going to guess bizjet is something that rich people have, richy people. So if they're in a business situation where they have their own corporate jet, I think that jet would be considered a biz jet.
That's it.
Is that exactly what it is?
Bertrand calls it the biz lunch sometimes. This is a biz jet, a small airplane used for business.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who are not yet financially secure enough to afford a small business airplane of their own, we may now live vicariously by playing the word on the Scrabble board because, a Z is 10 points.
And a J is 8.
Yeah.
So that's going to get you a ton of points.
All right, well, it's a small airplane used for business.
Yeah. What about this word? I'm guessing this is a food. I don't know, though. A-R-A-N-C-I-N-I. Arancini? Is that a food?
Yeah, it's a rice-stuffed ball.
Yep.
Let me find it, because I saw it here. But that's an Italian thing. It is balls of cooked rice, basically.
Yeah, arancini. That's what it sounds like.
They're pretty good.
Beat down. B-E-A-T. D-O-W-N. Now, I think that could have more than one meaning. To me, that means you've destroyed somebody or something. I gave that guy a beatdown.
That's probably
what it is. Is that probably what it is?
Yes, it is an overwhelming defeat.
Yeah, a beatdown.
Overwhelming, though.
Right.
The Cubs got a beatdown last night. Yesterday. I keep saying last night.
Well, 3-1. Is that a beatdown?
Well, they lost.
Yeah.
They had an important game.
Could you beat down Arancini? I bet you could. Here's another one. I'm going to take a guess. I think I know what this means, but I don't know. The word is zomboid, and I think that's having the characteristics of a zombie.
Correct,
is
sir.
That right?
Resembling zombies.
Yep. Yep. Emoji is a word I think everyone, even though emoji is a word that's only a couple of years old, and there was a time where when you'd hear it or see it, you'd go, I'm not sure what that is. But now it's common, right? Everyone knows what it is now.
Yes, and I don't think it's just a couple of years ago, Bill.
How long has emoji been around? A long time?
I see, you and I think everything is just a couple of years. Emojis have been going since iPhones, and I'm probably on...
But were they always called that? Or didn't people used to just call them, like, computo pictures?
Computo pictures? Yeah, I like that better.
I think computo pictures was the word that they should have gone with. Emoji. The password is emoji. What about Emoji Phillips, the comedian? How long has he been around? Is he acceptable in Scrabble? I'm going to start using that name.
I think it was...
Does it say, when you go into the dictionary, it doesn't say, it never gives the year that it became a word, does it?
No,
because no one cares, I guess, but me.
I got the Googler going.
That should be in next year's Scrabble dictionary.
When was the emoji invented? 1999 in Japan.
Really?
That was the first emoji. And when was the first iPhone out? 10 years ago. So it's been at least 10 years.
Shocked. I don't think I heard the word until about 4 years ago, and I still when I see it, I go, "Oh yeah, all right."
Emoji? What?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Like, you know how people don't know if it's GIF or JIF to this day?
I still don't.
I think
it's JIF, right?
I don't know.
Jasmine, what is it? GIF or JIF?
It's a GIF.
What is the peanut butter? That's JIF, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's JIF, but GIF. It's called a GIF.
What if it's a short film involving JIF peanut butter? Is it a JIF GIF?
Oh, my
God. JIF GIF. I kind of like that. Yeah, that's what it would be.
Yep.
That's so old-timey.
I have no idea what this word means at all. I know the first part of the word. I know the second part of the word. I don't know what this word means. Face palm. What's a face palm? Is that where you do that thing where you put your face in your palms to look like Macaulay Culkin did in Home Alone?
No, when you slap someone in the face, right?
That's a face palm?
I don't know. Jasmine, do you know?
I just thought what you just did.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Well, nobody can see it, but yeah.
A gesture in which the palm of one's hand is brought to one's face as an expression of disbelief, shame, or I could have had a V8.
Oh, like the banging on the forehead, that's it?
Face palm. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So, excuse me, listeners, it's no one hitting someone else in the face. That's you.
It's self-inflicted.
Face palming yourself, yeah.
Yeah. This one is commonplace now, Bitcoin. A few years ago, you hear Bitcoin, you don't know what that refers to, but now almost everybody does.
Yeah, but do you really know what it is? Because I don't understand the whole Bitcoin thing. It's pretend money that's not...
It's currency that's only by way of computer transfer, right? Like, you can't physically hold it, right? It's credits you would get on your computer account, right?
I guess, but then how do you cash it in? It's a type of digital currency in which encryption techniques are used to regulate the generation of units of currency and verify the transfer of funds.
That's exactly what I said.
It is. Although it is, but more understandable, because this is just making me more confused. It's operating independently of a central bank. They're used for online transactions, but can you ever cash out of Bitcoin? Or does it just stay in your account?
I think it's only...
Like a credit.
I'm just guessing, but I think it's only e-currency. I think. I don't know.
GIF.
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 Oh, my God. I thought Jasmine was just screaming.
I thought it was Jasmine.
That was not me. And I hit the button, and I still thought it was Jasmine.
GIF.
Are you doing pronunciations?
Calm down.
Not getting paid for that. That's my side job.
GIF.
Jasmine.
GIF.
Come on. I know.
GIF.
All right. Wow.
GIF.
I thought it was a GIF.
What a temper.
Oh, I found a new website.
What is...
Just
can
go
you
on.
Say what it is?
No, I mean, I'm going to play with this. All this right. will be Jasmine's voice.
What? I have no idea what this is. I'm going to guess, though. The word is hive mind. HIVEMIND. And I'm guessing, just guessing, it's having the mind of a swarm.
What does that mean?
Like, you're thinking in a group. You're not thinking individually, but you're thinking like the Borg, Wendy. You know how in Star Trek The Next Generation, the Borg didn't think individually. They thought as a collective.
Yeah.
So I think that's what hive mind means. You're thinking as the group, not as an individual.
I've never heard that used before.
If it means something else, it should be my meaning, because my meaning is better.
A notional entity consisting of a large number of people who share their knowledge or opinions with one another, regarded as producing either uncritical conformity or collective intelligence. So, yeah.
I think I'm right. Aren't I?
Could we get some definitions that, like, I can understand? It usually happens on internet message boards and is especially noticeable when the thought reached is not a meme. So when it's a group of people, when two or more people come to the same thought at the same time.
Yeah.
Because of the same circumstance. So it's not really coming together to plan something. It's like
you all are of the same belief or opinion.
It can't be an inside joke. It's when two or more people come to the same thought at the same time because of the same circumstances, but do not know each other beforehand.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're conferring and trying to come to a consensus on what you should do. It's
right.
Like if you're on a message board and you both plop out the word hive mind.
Yes.
That would be an instance of that.
Yep. This one I must confess I know, but I don't know that you'll know this one. Bibimbap.
Oh, I know what that is.
Do you know what it is?
Yes, because I did HelloFresh, and that was a recipe, and it is kind of a bowl of various things like meat and veggies. And
I think it's Vietnamese. I think you're almost positive it is. Because there's a couple places in Evanston that have signs saying that they have the best bibimbap in town. And the first few times I saw it, I went, who knows what that is? Is that good? Is that bad?
How do good you spell you? It?
The traditional way, B-I-B-I-M.
B-I-Bicky-Bo-B-A-Boo-Bicky-Bi-Bo-B-A-Boo-Bicky-Bi-Bo-B-Boo.
It's one of the many words that Mo Howard brought to the English language, Wendy.
Bibimbap.
B-I-B-I-M-B-A-P.
Bip-im.
It's similar to chizimbap. Do you remember chizimbap?
I don't think you can say that on the air.
Oh, you can't? Jazz?
I don't know.
GIF.
Uh-oh.
GIF.
Bibimbap.
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 That's what I'm saying.
Bibimbap.
That's what I said.
That sounds like that guy from CNET.
Bibimbap.
Which guy?
He's on with Bertrand. Ian Schur.
Oh, yeah, it does sound like Ian Schur.
Bibimbap.
So Ian Schur and Jasmine.
They should have their own website where they just yell at you about whatever pronunciation of a word you want to know what it means. Bibimbap.
It is a Korean dish consisting of rice topped with sautéed vegetables, chili paste, beef, or other meat, sometimes with the addition of raw or a fried egg.
Very popular.
I made it. This HelloFresh gave you a recipe card, and you made it in like 30 minutes, and you had to really finely slice the carrots and put it in different parts, so it was a beautiful array. It was actually super tasty and very healthy.
Is it Korean? I think I said Vietnamese.
I just said a Korean dish.
Korean. Yep. I don't know what this word means. Puggle?
That is a pug dog, right?
Oh, I bet you're right. I bet that's right. A puggle could be a pug dog.
Although, let me see. A puggle is the name of a crossbreed dog. Oh, the pug and a beagle.
Yeah. Oh. Why didn't we know that part?
I should have known that.
Is this one? This can't be what I think it is. It's just macaroon. Is that right? M-A-C-A-R-O-N? Or is that macaron? Macaron. Macaroon is already an existing word. I'm pretty sure. Macaron.
Oh, that sounds, I know what it is.
What is that, macaroon. Jess?
It's a biscuit cookie dish. It's like French and all that.
No, that's macaroon.
Macaroon.
I think this is macaron.
Macaron?
Yeah, I think. Macaron kittle. Very small Ron Kittle.
It's a unique combination of crisp, soft, and chewy. It's some kind of macaron.
M-A-C-A-R-O-N.
Macron?
If you're just joining us, Macron is the leader of France.
I know, that's what, M-A-C.
M-A-C-A-R-O-N.
Oh, I forgot the A. I didn't hear you say that. It is a French... A macaron or a French macaroon is a sweet meringue-based... I guess it's just the masculine version of a macaroon.
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I didn't know macaroons were sexual.
The same thing?
Yeah,
just
that's...
now learning that.
They're just... I guess they're pronounced macaroon.
Or if you're a man, if you're a lumberjack, you're not going to ask for a macaroon. You want a macaron.
Ron.
Well.
What's the difference between the two, you ask? 'Cause it,
10 francs.
Frank Whitaker,
Frank Thomas. Who else?
A macaron is a confection made up of two round, flat almond flour-based cookies.
Yes.
Sandwiching a filling like a ganache or a jam.
Oh.
It's kind of like a fluffy Oreo where there are two parts to it.
Oh, that sounds
Any
good.
Any variation in color or flavor is simply a variation in the filling. A macaroon, two O's, is a mounded cookie made with shredded coconut and often dipped in chocolate. So they are different.
They're right.
There's macaron, which looks like two fluffy blonde Oreos or pink Oreos stuffed together with some kind of filling.
Yeah.
And a macaroon is like a coconutty kind of
thing. Could you order them both together?
Yeah.
Would that be a good meal?
Not a meal, a dessert.
A macaron?
A dessert.
With some seltzer and some salsa?
Yeah.
On the side. Now we're talking. We have time for one more?
Yes. Bibimbap.
Bibimbap. Do we do that one? I can't remember.
It's fun, though.
Do you want to do sheeple or do you want to do boca? I go sheeple, right?
Sheeple?
I'm going to say sheeple is people that act like sheep.
They follow people.
You follow somebody. Yes. Right. Don't you think that
Those people are sheeple.
Yeah. Sheeple people.
Sheeple.
Sheeple, Wendy. Sheeple who sheeple. Meet sheeple are the luckiest sheeple in the world.
People compared to sheep in being docile, foolish, or easily led.
Yeah, we were right. We've been right on almost all of these. Only the food ones gave us headaches. The rest of them we cleaned up on.
What is a Judy Pilak? Is she in the dictionary?
Bibimbap.
Under swear words.
Under thrifty. If somebody says, that's very Pilesque, that means you were very thrifty.
Judy, are you not talking to us today?
Yes. Oh. Hello.
We're going.
These are all new words you can use in Scrabble.
What was the other one? It was sheeple, and what was the other one?
I would just use lemming instead of sheeple.
Yeah.
Hive mind.
No, it was. You said, do you want to know?
Aquafaba?
No, that's bean juice.
Face palm?
No, you just said it. You said, which one do you want? Do we have time for one more?
Was
sheeple or?
Boca, B-O-K-E-H.
B-O-K-E-H.
Right. I don't know what this one I can't even guess about. I don't even know what, I have no idea.
It's in photography, bokeh.
Oh, it's pronounced bokeh?
Is the aesthetic quality of the blur produced in the out-of-focus parts of an image produced by a lens.
Wow.
Like a bouquet of flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but spelled differently. Mm-hmm.
That's very specific.
Boca, I was thinking of a part of Florida.
Yeah, because that's Spanish for mouth, isn't it?
I don't know.
I know that? Because when we stayed in Delray Beach, Boca Raton was the next suburb over, and it's one of the richest suburbs in America. And when you think about it, the translation of Boca Raton is mouth of the rat. So,
ew.
Yeah, I know.
So we're Stinky Onion.
I know.
Chicago or Wild Onion.
But wouldn't you think a well-to-do place? I'm sorry, Jennifer, is that you?
No? Bokeh. It sounds just like you.
I thought Jasmine was yelling at us before. Because Wendy kept playing that.
I think it means take a break, bouquet.
Oh, it does?
No.
All right. Well done.
Hurry.
Well done. All right. A break, some news, more fun. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, Bill, you know what it's time for?
Bibimbap.
Judy.
Judy.
Judy. Judy.
Pilak.
Yep.
Judy.
Pilak.
That's the correct pronunciation.
I hate when people say my name. Seriously.
When you were younger, everybody used to do this awful impression of Cary Grant,
where he would say Judy, which he never said
in a single movie, but that was the go-to impression.
Gomer Pyle said it, Judy, Judy, Judy.
Right.
Judy.
I think Goober Pyle.
People, you have no idea how many times in my life I've heard that.
Did it make you crazy?
And I go, like, do you think I've never heard that before?
Right. I know. It's like
but they say my name a lot for some reason. Judy, 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 Judy.
Because of that.
News.
Maybe.
All right, Jasmine.
News.
Jasmine, we get it.
Jasmine.
Why is she so angry? All right. It's news.
Come on, Jasmine. Doesn't that sound like you?
I need to get paid for this.
You will. You'll get paid.
Right. News. Just put in for it. Who's going to doubt you? Right. It's you.
Who does she put it in with? Dictionary.com?
AFTRA?
Somebody. They got to keep track. All right, it's news time right now. Here's Judy Pilak. No, we can't because it's the news is very serious. You know what's crazy? What was that? What was that?
Bossy.
Bossy. Bossy.
Are we still on me?
Yes.
Yes.
Bossy.
Judy. Bossy.
Here's what's crazy. I'm very nervous about tonight's Cubs game. For those of you who don't know, it's a one-game playoff between the Colorado Rockies and the Cubs. And I'm very nervous about it, even though I realize there is nothing I can do. All I can do is watch it, and that's it.
If you're at that moment that they get a homer doing something, you need to do it over and over again.
I guess so.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that superstition is ridiculous. I so understand that. And yet,
so many people have.
Especially in baseball.
Especially men.
When I'm watching a game, we have four televisions in our house, in various parts of our house. If I'm watching a game and something good happens while watching that TV, I cannot switch to another TV. It's so stupid. Because I know it has no. The Cubs aren't going, where is he? Is he in the living room right now or in the bedroom? He's in the living room? Well, we'll do something good now. Did he switch to the bedroom? Well, now we're going to suck.
Oh my
gosh.
We're
going to be awful now.
When the Bulls won their first championship maybe in a long time, I don't know. And I was married at the time, and my husband
who was a fanatic about basketball and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Ran into like where we had like a, one of those swinging doors that led into the basement.
Yeah.
As it was about to happen, and actually I think it was John Paxson, I want to remember who got that three-pointer.
That's John Paxson.
As he got the ball, it was the last seconds of the game, he ran and into that door and stood there. And did, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
He just stayed there because it was
you
his lucky
didn't
spot?
Didn't see the font, and he said, I don't care, I'll see the replay. But obviously, the fact that he ran in there is why they won.
That, well, that's the reason the Bulls have said on many occasions.
Did I mention I divorced him? Because I was like, we're done, dude. Why would I just didn't understand why you wouldn't want to enjoy that moment. That's what it's all about.
Right.
Even defeat sometimes.
Yeah.
But, of course, glory is so much better.
Yeah.
Winning. But it's that moment that they win is so, to me, critical.
But it's painful to see. You know, it makes for good television to show a couple of shots of the losing team sitting in the dugout, watching the celebration just a couple feet away. Yesterday when the Cubs lost and the Brewers were just parading all over and jumping on each other and so excited, a quick couple of cuts to the Cubs, they showed Anthony Rizzo just quickly leaving.
Yeah.
He made the last out and he didn't, why did he want to linger and watch the rest of that? But a couple of the other guys just kind of sitting on the bench watching the Brewers celebrate. It's so painful in your home park.
See, now, interestingly, when I saw that yesterday, it wasn't painful because I was like, you're going to win anyway.
Well,
you're going to win.
Because
I felt like they weren't even like, oh.
Right,
like,
because
yeah,
they lived another day. Today's the day. But today,
it's do or die, right?
I don't say it. It is do or die.
But this is so unfair. The Cubs played so well. And to be
in
this,
one game can cost
you. But aren't they in this position just because of like the numbers? Because of fate? It's not because of how they played, right? They should be.
It's a combination of fate. I mean, the numbers
winning
are the numbers
games.
Because of fate.
But I mean, the fact that
because
it was a tie.
You guys are deep.
Right?
Yeah.
But the tie, it's not it's not usual. Like, usually someone's better.
Right.
And I, you know, I don't, maybe I'm in, I don't know baseball that well, but I feel like the Cubs are so much better than Milwaukee.
Baseball.
Baseball.
It's true. Baseball.
Yeah, it's baseball. We're talking about baseball. Yeah, Jazz, it's baseball. Yep. So, how about this, guys? Just win tonight, Cubs, and make us all stop
worrying. Are the Rockies good?
Yes, they're exceptional.
Win.
Uh-oh.
Yep, win.
Win.
That's good advice.
Win.
I'm going home.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
We'll see what happens.
So what will you be doing when you're watching
the game? Biting my fingernails.
Will you not watch part of the game?
And if I'm out of fingernails, I'll ask my neighbors to come in. I'll bite their fingernails.
But will you not watch baby. The game?
And somebody will bring a baby.
Baby.
No, you're a baby.
I'm not a baby. I'm too old to be a baby.
But will you not watch parts of the game if it's too uncomfortable, if it's too painful?
I would stop watching the game if the Cubs were down by 10 runs.
Okay. Yeah,
then
anxious.
I'd go, this isn't my... What? What
anxious. That?
Interest. Yeah.
Anxious.
Anxious. Yeah, I am anxious. So, yeah, I want to see a good game, but I need
nervous.
The Cubs. I'm nervous. Don't get me wrong. But I need the Cubs number to be higher than the Rockies number.
Yes, I get it. Well,
you know?
Even more interestingly, Wendy, will you be watching the Cubs game?
No.
Wow.
No.
I'd watch the Sox if it was an important game.
What's tonight?
You're a terrible baseball
No, I may. I may do it. I may do it.
But you're not excited. I mean,
number.
I number one. But you know how, like, honestly, when I woke up this morning, the very first thought in my head was how many hours until 7 o'clock.
Wow.
You know, I'm looking at the clock. I'm like, okay, so 12 hours from now it'll be first pitch.
When did you do this?
When I woke up this morning.
What?
That was the first. Wood. Wilbur Wood. He doesn't pitch for the Cubs. Wendy, he's with the White Sox. Wilbur Wood. You're dirty.
You're so innocent.
Jasmine, write the time down and send this to my attorney, please. Please.
I gotta go to
Wilbur Wood, if that's what you call it.
Shit. Oh no. Jasmine, call management.
Oh,
tell
geez.
Them. Just use this as our code word, emergency sector 3. They'll know what I mean. Just say emergency in sector 3.
Oh, my God.
But, like, so honestly, well, we're all giggling.
Giggle.
That's absolutely true. So, so that's how obsessed I am with this.
Right.
And I think it's because during the course of a season, You know, you play 162 games. I didn't watch all 162, but between the Cubs and the White Sox, I watched over 100 games of baseball this year, and you hate for it to end on a sour note.
Yeah. I will be watching tonight.
Are you going to watch?
Yeah. I mean, I watched yesterday. Yeah. I watched a little bit yesterday.
I mean, everyone's going to be watching.
Were you upset when they lost at all, even a little bit? Not really?
I wanted them to win. I mean, I don't want them to win the World Series again. I'm sorry. I'm putting it out there right now. I just can't deal with, you know, the Cubs getting all the attention all the time anyway. And now this would be two very recent World Series under their belts.
True.
It would bug me.
All right.
But I wanted them to win yesterday.
To go a little further.
Yeah, I just thought, why not?
And see, I know Milwaukee, but it's close. And I'm like,
I love Milwaukee. Milwaukee is one of my favorite places to be.
So
the people are nice.
I don't really mind.
I know you're supposed to hate your rivals. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't hate St. Louis.
Yeah, I hate St. Louis.
Do you hate St. Louis?
Milwaukee so much our rivals because didn't they used to be in the
American League? They were until recently.
Yeah. Okay.
And the Houston Astros also switched from the National League.
But we do interleague play now, so I can't figure any of that out really. So.
But that whole weird thing of you're supposed to hate your rivals. I don't hate anyone in Milwaukee. I don't hate the teams. I don't hate anyone in St. Louis. Thank you.
This was a special game. It wasn't scheduled.
Yesterday?
It was
today.
No, today.
Today's the first. We learned this earlier. This is
the first round.
I'm just wondering, people who have tickets, how did those tickets?
Well, those tickets just became available yesterday.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, because they didn't know that the Cubs would be in it. They knew the game would exist, but we didn't know what city would be playing what city.
I'm just as a news person thinking in my head, oh, well, this could be if they win, probably some big stuff going on in Wrigleyville. If they lose,
it'll be sad.
Everyone
will
be somber. Everyone go home.
There'll be a big party at the Blake Lamb funeral home. It'll be very sad for everybody. And by the way, there are no lambs there. I've been there a couple times. Can't find a lamb to save your life, which is ironic because we're talking about funerals. A woman in Ohio has been arrested, Wendy.
Oh, no.
There's more to it. That has happened in the past.
Ohio?
This isn't the first time a woman in Ohio has been arrested, believe me. But for this reason, it might be. She was arrested because she allowed her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo.
Well, that's her business and her kid's business.
Yep. A mom has been arrested for allowing her 10-year-old son to get a tattoo by a teenage artist. The tattooist.
Well, she should be arrested for that.
So, an older tattooist.
Yeah, someone more experienced. You don't want like an inexperienced tattooer tatting up your kid.
But why was she arrested? Why?
Well, I'll get to that. Because she allegedly was tired of the boy begging to get inked. So the kid is constantly saying, Mom, can I get a tattoo? Can I get a tattoo? She finally caves in.
What is the difference between letting your kid get a piercing? You know, so many young kids today have guys and girls a pierced ear.
Well, I'm asking because legally I thought if you're under 18, you need your parents' permission.
Right.
But sometimes you need to be over 16 for certain things.
My daughter Kylie has a very, very small tattoo on her hand. And my wife had to not just sign for it, but be there with her when she got it.
At what age?
Seems fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
How old at what age?
She was a senior in high school, so 17 or 18 maybe.
Yeah, I think I remember wanting to get my daughter wanted another piercing.
Yeah.
In her ear.
Yeah.
But still, isn't that weird? And there was some weird thing that she'd never ID, and so she couldn't do it. So
Jude, when I was a kid and I got the bone put through my nose, my mom and dad both had to be there for that.
I thought Fred Flintstone did that.
Fred Flintstone was there for that, too. He said, yabba dabba, do it. I go, you can't make me buckle the peer pressure.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I was born so long ago that my girlfriend just pierced my ear.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really,
you have a sleepover and all the girls are piercing each other's ears.
While you're drinking, you too, usually.
Cold. Nah, I definitely didn't say that.
That's not, Jasmine, that's not nice.
That is not nice.
That is not nice. Don't say that about Judy.
I have here's a word for you, run.
Run. The news outlet reported that the 34-year-old woman, Nikki Dickinson, I knew this was Nikki Dickinson's work, I could tell, was charged with first-degree misdemeanor of child endangerment and contributing to the delinquency of a minor after a video of the tattoo session went viral. Why would that go viral?
Because somebody posted it.
She posted it.
But doesn't viral mean a lot of attention?
Angie Dickinson.
Angie Dickinson.
Is that her name?
court documents obtained by the news station.
Jeez, Bill.
Read that 16-year-old tattoo artist identified by the Bellefontaine Examiner as Kyle Richardson of Lakeview often gives tattoos in his home. The local TV station also reported that the teen may have tattooed somebody who subsequently developed MRSA. That's MRSA,
yeah.
For those of you listening.
That's
a staph infection.
That can kill you. That is a non-respondent staph infection.
Yep.
Medicine-resistant staph something. That's what it stands for.
MRSA. The Bellefontaine Examiner reported that the artist was charged with performing tattoos in a manner that doesn't meet safety and sanitation standards. Performing tattoos.
Well, okay, that makes total sense.
Is that the right word to use, though, for this? Performing tattoos? I'd go with administering.
That was just the journalist
that be better?
Writing that.
Who, maybe.
That was the very wrong word.
And also tattooing in a manner that does not meet sterilization and disinfection standards. It bothered me. I'm a father and I'm a grandfather, said one law official in the news segment, which showed the video of a boy whose face was blurred out along with the face of a woman whose lap he sat on getting his arm tattooed by a young man.
I can't wait to hear what the tattoo was. What was so important?
You know what? I don't think it says it in the story. I read the story earlier, and I don't think it says what the tattoo was of, which is a major flaw. Because,
right.
Although, it's not better
point,
or worse.
But I just
but it's
know,
a curious
yeah.
point of the story mm-hmm. is tell us what the tattoo is. Yeah, there's no picture of it anywhere.
Who, what, where, when, and why?
Those are the why? Five W's mm-hmm. of journalism, Jude. The September 24th video was posted to Facebook by a Ohio resident, Storm Harrington.
That's a great name.
What soap opera was
weather?
Storm Harrington on, Wendy?
Dark Shadows.
Was he on Dark Shadows?
As the World Turns.
Why, Storm Harrington, what brings you to Port Charles? Bom, bom, bom.
My gosh, that is a great name.
Isn't it? Dr. Storm Harrington. I'll save you. I'm Storm Harrington. Commenters were shocked by the ridiculous incident, and someone noted that the artist wasn't wearing gloves during the session.
I thought you were going to say pants.
The artist wasn't wearing pants, Wendy. He was not wearing gloves.
You're supposed to wear gloves. Yeah, the whole thing of infection, you really have to keep it clean. Yeah.
Yep.
Now it makes sense.
Yep.
Why she was arrested.
Others balked. Well, the runner gets to move to the next base when that happens. At what they said looked like a syringe lying on the table. Well, there would be syringes because you're inking somebody up, so that you do it by way of syringe,
yeah.
right?
Balk.
Yep.
Balk.
It's not balk.
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 Balk. A man on Facebook named...
Let's Storm? Just
go, no. J-A-W-D-Y-N. Is that allowable in Scrabble now? Can you use that word? Jordan? Jordan? Jordan Ford. You know why, Wendy? Because Pepperidge Farm remembers... Jordan Ford.
I'm just making these names up.
Jordan Ford is where I bought my Thunderbird when I was in high school.
Good for you.
That was the name of the dealership. Come on down to Jordan Ford. We've got crabs a-boiling. Who identified himself as Dickinson's nephew. That's my favorite Charles Chaucer, or Chaucer play. I'm sorry. I can't remember his first name. Told Lifestyle magazine that he doesn't have any further details beyond the news report. When officers visited the home of the child last week, the boy admitted to asking his mom for the tattoo. However, when the station reporter communicated with Dickinson by way of Facebook, she said the video was fake, but refused to provide any further details. Well, all you have to do is produce the child to say if the tattoo right. happened or not.
Pull your sleeve up.
Right. Put your big boy pants on.
That was Duplain.
Why?
That was tattoo.
Oh, tattoo. Wow.
Well,
I couldn't remember reading a part of it where it happened on a plane.
Head, I know, tattoo.
Wow.
Oh,
that was fun.
Bad audio. But.
Well, as you know, I've told you guys before that I had a tattoo party at my house. And yes, we...
Did everyone was there a single person there who during your tattoo party said, you know what, this isn't
for
me?
Yeah, no, we could only do 10 people in that amount
of time. That's a lot of people at your house having a tattoo party.
At least an hour each. We started at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
In the afternoon. But once he ran out of the, not even the syringe or the needle, but the thing that goes over, like the, what would you call it? Kind of a little round plastic, the container that goes over the needle.
So that you don't accidentally...
The cap. He ran out of those. He would not do another tattoo.
just for safety reasons.
Right. He had more needles, but he said, no, I don't. And I even said, well, I can boil it. He's like, nope.
No.
Yeah.
He
wore gloves. I mean, everything was so.
Was everyone disappointed then?
Some people were. Two more people wanted to get tattoos.
What if he was in the middle of a tattoo and that happened? What would happen? Would he stop or continue?
Well, he wouldn't need the cap on because
he
he's working on that person.
He puts the cap on for each one. Yeah.
Oh.
And then he just happened to run out and he said, yeah, I can't. It was like the cover that goes
that
over
was admirable
the
of him.
Yeah, it was. I
He wasn't
I
an admiral.
It.
He wasn't an admiral? Did he himself have many tattoos?
He did, and he was a really good artist.
In movies, now I've never been to a tattoo parlor in real life.
Really? Because I was just in one recently.
Were you in one?
Yeah, they have a lot of
in
tattoos.
In movies, whoever's doing the tattooing always has a lot of them.
They have so many tattoos.
I wonder if it's like that in
and
real
And most
life.
Of the people in the tattoo parlor, but we'll just call it a tattoo shop, also have a lot of tattoos.
Yeah.
I did, for a 50th birthday, a bunch of ladies in the neighborhood got, like, American Taxi to take us from LaGrange to Tattoo down on, I think it's Lincoln
Avenue.
Tattoo,
Parlor, a Tattoo Avenue.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where
place?
It is, but it's called Tattoo Downtown. And a bunch of us got tattoos. We had a couple of drinks before, like a couple mojitos, but they really wouldn't. They had to make sure if you were like really loaded, they wouldn't have done it.
Right, because then you'd make decisions that didn't.
No,
that,
then you might want to sue them for it.
And
plus, your blood
bleeding,
is thinner.
Yes.
Oh.
It's for health reasons.
Oh, I
didn't
know that part.
They don't.
Oh, interesting.
And
so
then,
they don't serve, like, at the time of the tattoo, they don't go, would you like some wine to calm you down?
No.
They don't do that?
No. And we said we each had two mojitos, and they did. They talked to you. You have to fill out forms, pick your ideas.
Yeah.
Or bring your own, and then meet with somebody who sketches it. And then afterwards, we went to Harlem Avenue Lounge in Berwyn, and I sang with Buzz Kelman, and then I went home and fainted.
No.
I did.
Oh, no.
I really just think
That's
it was,
day.
You know, adrenaline level from getting tattooed and then performing and then add some booze to that.
Yeah, because nothing happened with, because,
no.
You know, obviously the problem with a tattoo that could develop is an infection.
Sure.
It's not, it's rare. If you do it right, like Wendy just described.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Could you get a tattoo that looks like you have an infection? Would they have a tattoo like that?
Oh, my God.
That would be cool.
There's your new business model. You can be on the Wintrust business lunch with Bertrand.
Like vomit on your arm?
Yeah. That'd be great.
It would be. Right. Why don't you get that?
Judy, thank you.
You could have the fake rubber dog poo on your butt.
Jeez,
on your butt cheek.
I want to get a tattoo of Domity Pongo riding a mini bike. I don't know why. I just think that'd be a fun tattoo.
Bertrand already has one.
That would be fun. All right. Judy, thanks for hanging out. We'll close up shop next. The tattoo shop is about to close. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Now, that was fast, wasn't it? That was a fast show.
It certainly was.
Goodbye.
What?
Right by Andy's.
Oops. Hang on.
Who's that?
That.
Orion.
Orion?
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Orion.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Orion. Why doesn't he say goodbye back to us?
He said it. He started
Is he
it.
See at Jameson Steakhouse?
Goodbye.
Put us on the party line at Jameson's. I want to talk to Orion. Why won't he say goodbye back?
I don't know.
All we give him is love, and he shuns us.
He doesn't shun us.
I don't understand it. All right, that's it for today's show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow, the middle of the week. Already
Steakhouse.
Steakhouse Wednesday. You can do that every week. Steakhouse Wednesday.
No, we have to bring back Prince Spaghetti Day. Jasmine, all this is sometime a bump during the show tomorrow on AM 720. Just play a Prince song. I like doing that. It just makes me realize it's Wednesday, Prince Spaghetti Day.
Yeah. It's a tribute to a great artist.
Yes, it is.
All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Do it again tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.
Goodbye.